Chapter 1 Jason Solo stood with his father outside the mudblock refugee hut they were sharing on Duro. Jason's brown coveralls had accumulated a layer of grit and dust, and his wavy, dark brown hair fell over his ears, not quite long enough to pull back in a tail. Under a translucent gray dome, tension wrapped around him like a Jaren glass snake, invisible, but so palpable through the force that he could almost feel its coils constrict. Something was about to happen. He could feel it coming when he listened through the force. Something vital, but what? A Rin female, velvet-furred with a spiked mane, her tail and forearm bristles graying with age, stood talking to Jason's dad, Han Solo.
"Those are our caravan ships," she bellowed, waving her hands. "Ours!"
She snorted, and the breath honked through four holes in her chitinous beak. Han swung around, narrowly missing Jason with his left arm. "And right at this moment, we can't afford to take them off-world to run systems checks. You've been in a restricted area, Metsa." Splashes of red-orange fur highlighted Metsa's soft taupe coat. Her blue tail tip trembled, a gesture Jason had learned to interpret as impatience.
"Of course we've been in the ship lot," she snapped. "There's never been a security fence Rin couldn't get inside, and those are our caravan ships. Ours!"
She tapped her threadbare vest, which covered an ample chest.
"And don't tell me to trust you, Captain. We do. It's Selcor we don't trust. Selcor and the people up there."
She waved her arm skyward. Han's mouth twitched, and 17-year-old Jason could almost feel him trying not to laugh. Jason's dad could sympathize with refugees making unofficial reconnaissances, especially on board their own ships. But Han was in charge now. Instead of showing his amusement, he was supposed to enforce Selcor regulations, publicly at least, for the sake of a few juvenile offenders. He and Metsa would undoubtedly settle the real issues later, in private. So Han plunged back into the argument. Jason watched the show, trying to pick up one more piece of the puzzle he felt in every cell of his being. Trained as a Jedi and unusually perceptive, he could tell that the Force was about to move, to shift. This time, he didn't dare miss the clues. His right cheekbone twinged. He touched it self-consciously, then swept his hair back from his face. It needed cutting, but no one here cared what he looked like. His legs were still growing, his shoulders broadening. He felt like an awkward hybrid of trained Jedi and barely grown boy. He leaned against his hut's outer wall and stared out over his new home. The dome had been engineered by Selcor, the New Republic Senate Select Committee for Refugees, to hold 1,000 settlers. Naturally, 1,200 had been squeezed in. Besides these outcast Rin, there were several hundred desperate humans, delicate Vors, Vuvrians with their enormous round heads, and one young hut. And the relentless Yuuzhan Vong kept sweeping across the galaxy, destroying whole worlds, enslaving or sacrificing planetary populations. Lush Ithor, lawless Ord Mantell, and Abroa's sky, with its fabulous libraries, all had fallen to the merciless invaders. Hut space and the mid-rim worlds along the Corellian Run were under attack. If the Yuuzhan Vong could be stopped, the New Republic hadn't figured out how. Han Solo stood with his left hand on his hip, arguing with Metsa, who led the larger of two Rin clan remnants, but keeping one eye on the transgressors, a group of youths about Jason's age with fading juvenile stripes on their cheeks. The Rin clans occupied one of Settlement 32's three wedge-shaped arrays of blue-roofed huts. The synthplast dome arched overhead, as gray as the polluted mists that swirled outside. Jason had been blessed, or cursed, with a sensitivity that he once hid behind labored jokes, and he did find it easy to see both sides of almost any argument. Part of his job here was to help his dad negotiate. Han tended to cut to solutions, instead of listening to both parties' points of view. Han had chased the Rin over half the New Republic, trying to gather his new friend Droma's invasion-scattered clanmates. As world after world closed its doors to refugees, the Rin had been beggared, duped, and betrayed. They'd taken terrible losses. They needed a sponsor. So a reluctant Han Solo registered with the burgeoning Select Committee for Refugees. Just long enough to settle them someplace. That was how he explained it to Jason, anyway. Jason had fled here from Coruscant. 2 months ago, the New Republic had called him and his brother Anakin to Centerpoint Station, the massive hyperspace repulsor and gravity lens in the Corellian system. There'd been hope that Anakin, who had activated Centerpoint once before, could enable it again. Military advisors had hoped to lure the Yuuzhan Vong into attacking Corellia, and they meant to use Centerpoint as an interdiction field to trap the enemy inside Corellian space, and then wipe them out. Even Uncle Luke hoped the station might be used only in its shielding capacity, not as a weapon. The New Republic might never recover from the catastrophe that followed. Jason could see stress in his dad's lined face and his labored stride, and in the gray growing into his hair. Even after all these years of hobnobbing with bureaucrats and tolerating his wife's protocol droid, patience clearly wasn't his strong suit. Standing on the beaten dust lane outside the Solo's hut, Metz's opposing clan leader twisted his own tail between strong hands. The fur on Romani's forearms and the tip of his tail stood out like bleached bristles.
"So your clan," Han said, pointing at Romani. "Thinks your clan," pointing now at Metza, "is likely to hijack our transport ships and strand everybody else here on Duro? Is that it?"
Someone at the back of Romani's group shouted,
"I wouldn't put it past them, Solo!"
Another Rin stepped forward.
"We were better off in the corporate sector, dancing for credits and telling fortunes. At least there we had our own ships. We could hide our children from poisoned air. And even more poisonous, words."
Han stuck his hands into his dusty coverall pockets and caught Jason's glance. Jason could almost look him in the eye, nowadays.
"Any suggestions?" Han muttered.
"They're just venting their frustrations now," Jason observed.
He glanced up. The gray synthplast dome over their heads had been imported in accordion folds and unfurled over three arched metal struts. The refugees were reinforcing it with webs of native rock fiber, roughly half the colony working double shifts to strengthen the dome and their prefab huts. The other half labored outside, at a pit mine reservoir and water purification site assigned by Selkor. Abruptly, Han flung up an arm and shouted,
"Hey!"
Jason spun around in time to see one young male Rin somersault out of Romani's group and crouch for fisticuffs. Two from Metz's group body-blocked him with surprising grace. Within seconds, Han was wading into an out-and-out melee that looked too graceful to actually endanger anyone. Rin were natural gymnasts. They swung their opponents by their bristled tails, hooting through their beaks like a flock of astromech droids. They almost seemed to be dancing, playing, releasing their tensions. Jason opened his mouth to say, "Don't stop them. They need to cut loose." At that moment, he collapsed, his chest flashing with fire as if he'd been torn open. His legs burned so fiercely he could almost feel hot shrapnel. The pain blasted down his legs, then into his ears. "Jaina?" joined through the Force even before they were born. He and Jaina had always been able to tell when the other was hurt or afraid. But for him to sense her over the distances that lay between them, now she must have been terribly... The pain winked off.
"Jaina?"
he whispered, appalled.
"No!"
He stretched out toward her, trying to find her again, barely aware of fuzzy shapes clustering around him and a Rin voice hooting for a medical droid. He felt as if he were shrinking, falling backwards into a vacuum. He tried focusing deep inside and outside himself to grab onto the Force and punch out, or slip into a healing trance. Could he take Jaina with him if he did? Uncle Luke had taught him a dozen focusing techniques back at the academy and since then.
"Jason."
A voice seemed to echo in his mind, but it wasn't Jaina's. It was deep, male, vaguely like his uncle's. Making an effort, Jason imagined his uncle's face, trying to focus on that echo. An enormous white vortex seemed to spin around him. It pulled at him, drawing him toward its dazzling center. What was going on? Then he saw his uncle, robed in pure white, half turned away. Luke Skywalker held his shimmering lightsaber in a diagonal stance, hands at hip level, point high.
"Jaina!"
Jason shouted the words in his mind.
"Uncle Luke! Jaina's been hurt!"
Then he saw what held his uncle's attention. In the dim distance, but clearly in focus, a second form straightened and darkened. Tall, humanoid, powerfully built, it had a face and chest covered with sinuous scars and tattoos. Its hips and legs were encased in rust-brown armor. Claws protruded from its heels and knuckles, and an ebony cloak flowed from its shoulders. The alien held a coal-black, snake-headed amphistaff across its body, mirroring the angle of Luke's lightsaber, pitting poisonous darkness against verdant light. Utterly confused, Jason stretched out through the Force. First, he sensed the figure in white as a respected uncle, then abruptly as a powerful depth, blazing in the Force like a star gone nova. But across this slowly spinning disk, where Jason's inner vision presented a Yuuzhan Vong warrior, his Force sense picked up nothing at all. Through the Force, all Yuuzhan Vong did seem utterly lifeless, like the technology they vilified. The alien swung its amphistaff. The Jedi Master's lightsaber blazed, swept down and blocked the swing, brightening until it washed out almost everything else in this vision. The Yuuzhan Vong's amphistaff seemed darker than any absence of light, a darkness that seemed alive but promised death. The broad, spinning disk on which they both stood finally slowed. It focused into billions of stars. Jason picked out the familiar map of known space. Luke dropped into a fighting stance, poised near the galaxy's center, the deep core. He raised his lightsaber and held it high, near his right shoulder, pointing inward. From three points of darkness beyond the rim, tattooed assailants advanced. More of them? Jason realized this was a vision, not a battle unfolding in front of him, with little to do with his twin sister. Or maybe everything to do with her. Did these new invaders symbolize other invasion forces, more world ships, besides the ones that were already beating back everything the New Republic could throw at them? Reaching out to Jaina, maybe he had tapped the Force itself. Or maybe it broke through to him. The galaxy seemed to teeter, poised between light and darkness. Luke stood close to the center, counterweighing the dark invaders. But as their numbers increased, the balance tipped.
"Uncle Luke!"
Jason shouted.
"What should I do?"
Luke turned away from the advancing Yuuzhan Vong. Looking to Jason with somber intensity, he tossed his lightsaber. It flew in a low, humming arc, trailing pale green sparks onto the galactic plane. Eyeing the advancing horde, Jason felt another enemy try to seize him. Anger from deep in his heart. Fear and fury focused his strength. If he could, he would utterly destroy the Yuuzhan Vong and all they stood for. He opened a hand, stretched out his arm, and missed. The Jedi weapon sailed past him. As anger released him, fear took a tighter hold. Jason flailed, leapt, tried stretching out with the force. Luke's lightsaber sailed on, shrinking and dimming with distance. Now the galaxy tipped more quickly. A dark, deadly tempest gathered around the alien warriors. Disarmed, Luke stretched out both hands. First he, then his enemies, swelled to impossible sizes. Instead of human and alien figures, now Jason saw light and darkness as entirely separate forces. Even the light terrified him in its grandeur and majesty. The galaxy seemed poised to plunge toward evil. But Jason couldn't help staring at the fearful light, spellbound, burning his retinas. A Jedi knows no fear. He'd heard that 1,000 times, but this sensation was no cowardly urge to run. This was awe. It was reverence, a passionate longing to draw nearer, to serve the light and transmit its grandeur. But compared to the forces battling around him, he was only a tiny point. Helpless and unarmed besides, because of one moment's dark anger. Had that misstep doomed him? Not just him, but the galaxy? A voice like Luke's, but deeper, shook the heavens. "Jason," it boomed, "stand firm." The horizon tilted farther. Jason lunged forward, determined to lend his small weight to Luke's side, to the light. He misstepped. He flailed for Luke's hand, but missed again. And again his weight fell slightly, by centimeters, toward the dark enemies. Luke seized his hand and held tightly. "Hang on, Jason." The slope steepened under their feet. Stars extinguished. The Yuuzhan Vong warriors scrambled forward. Whole star clusters winked out, a dark cascade under clawed enemy feet. Plainly, the strength of 100-odd Jedi couldn't keep the galaxy from falling to this menace. One misstep, at one critical moment by one pivotal person, could doom everyone they'd sworn to protect. No military force could stop this invasion, because it was a spiritual battle. And if one pivotal person fell to the dark side, or even used the ravishing, terrifying power of light in a wrong way, then this time, everything they knew might slide into stifling darkness.
"Is that it?"
he cried toward the infinite distance. Again, Jason perceived the words in a voice that was utterly familiar, but too deep to be Luke's.
"Stand firm, Jason."
One of the Yuuzhan Vong leapt toward him. Jason gasped and flung out both arms, and grabbed a flimsy bedsheet. He lay on his back, on a cot under a corrugated blue synth-plast roof. The room was bigger than a refugee shelter. It had to be the medical end of the dome's hardened control shed.
"Junior," another familiar voice drawled. "Hey there. Glad you could join us."
Jason looked up into his father's wry half-smile. Worry lines crowded Han's eyes. Behind him, the Rin named Droma clutched and twisted his soft red and blue cap. His long mustachios drooped. In recent months, Droma had become his dad's, what, his friend, his assistant? Certainly not a partner or co-pilot, but a real presence. The settlement's most valuable droid, a 2-1B medical unit that Han pirated no one knew where, lingered on Jason's other side, retracting a flexible breath mask.
"What happened?"
Han looked befuddled.
Hit your head on the way down? Skinny here.
Droma pointed at the droid and finished Han's sentence.
Wants to dump you into the Bacter tank.
Rin were shrewd observers, perceptive enough to lock into other people's thought patterns and finish their sentences. Han swung toward his friend.
Listen, Bristleface. When I want to say something, I'll say it.
Jaina,
Jason managed. The back of his skull throbbed in rhythm with his pulse. Evidently, he had hit it as he fell. He almost opened his mouth to describe what he'd seen, but he hesitated. Han was already confused by Jason's emotional paralysis, and the way he'd begged out of the other Jedi's rescue and fact-finding missions. As hard as Jason had tried to pull back from Jedi concerns, the Force wouldn't leave him alone. It was his heritage, his destiny. And if the fate of billions rested on a balance point so narrow that one misstep could doom everyone, did he dare even mention his vision until his own path seemed clear? He'd almost gotten himself enslaved once, following a vision into danger. The Yuuzhan Vong had gone so far as to plant one of their deadly coral seeds against his cheekbone. Maybe this time he'd been given a private warning to steer clear of some dangerous course. Would he know it when it opened up in front of him? This vision hadn't eased his confusion at all.
What? His father demanded. What about Jaina?
Jason squeezed his eyes shut, refusing to trivialize the Force by using it to ease a headache.
What is it,
he begged the unseen Force, that you want me to do? Or would he cause the next galactic catastrophe by trying to prevent it?
We've got to contact Rogue Squadron, Jason blurted. I think she's been hurt.